EA has plans to fix Anthem. Let's jump into it! Oh! What is up, guys? Welcome to Diggity, a video game podcast, episode number 145. I'm Jeff James, as always with me, the incredible, unobtainable, luscious Brody. How are you, my friend?
I am sick.
Sick in a cool way? Like, that's so sick, dude? Or, like, you're ill?
Not so much. If I sound more nasally than normal, I am very stuffed up and have been in way worse shape the last few days than I am now. I'm actually slowly starting to get over it, but good God, there for a couple days, I just wanted to sleep.
What'd you have? Did you just have, like, a little, like, cold or something?
Yeah, I assume so. I don't know. I was getting like body aches and the whole nine yards, man. It was bad. It wasn't good.
Oh my God.
I'm good. I'm not good now, but I'm better.
Did everyone say coronavirus to you?
No, actually nobody did. Surprisingly enough. I probably tried to make the joke a couple times and, turns out nobody really liked it.
You know what I've also realized right now on the stream? That, you cut your beard and I cut my hair.
Uh-huh.
Crazy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I chopped off the sides and just left a goatee, trimmed it up a little bit. It was time for something different. I can't do much with my hairstyle because I'm bald, so this is what you get.
No way.
Got to play with the beard styles every once in a while.
Yeah. You could also not see incredible beard styles by following our Instagram and Twitter at Diggity Podcast, but you can find cool video game news over there.
I'm going to start posting beard styles from now on.
That's right. You can also subscribe to us on YouTube, Diggity, DiggityY. If you're watching the live stream for the first time right now, hit subscribe. If you're watching the video after, hey, hit subscribe, dude. What's wrong with you? Subscribe to our podcast, the audio version on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to awesome podcast, and let your friends and family know about our awesome podcast as well, because spreading the word of our Lord and Savior Diggity is the right thing to do. quick notes after I've insulted people. Join our Patreon, patreon.com/diggitypodcast, my guys. And also something that has recently happened here that's upcoming in the next little bit is we're gonna have a guest on the show, right? Oh my God, Brody's dead. No, Brody. Oh God, no. Oh, okay, there, he's back. You good?
You froze up on my screen.
You froze up on my screen.
Oh, no, you froze up on my screen, damn it. I was watching the live stream and I didn't know what was going on. I'm back.
I said that we're having a friend on the show. So
we are. Yeah. Next Thursday we will be having a fellow podcaster on the show, and we're pretty excited about it. And then I think we might be having another one. We're still trying to figure out some details. The week after, it's friend February. We were trying to come up with a word for it, and it doesn't really flow very well.
No, you can't, because the English language sucks for that, and it's February, which is just an awful word to begin with.
February. Close enough,
good
right?
Good God. Yeah. Good God.
Yeah, that'll work.
Take it. Before running into upcoming games in the news, what did you play?
I played Temtem, Phantasy Star Online 2 beta, and Modern Warfare. That's about what I played this week, and we're actually going to dive into the first two of those a little bit later on. I'll give you some first impressions on Temtem. I know it came out like half a month ago, but I just now getting around to it, a lot of stuff to do. And then the Phantasy Star Online 2 beta was this weekend, closed beta for Xbox One, so I'll dive into my thoughts on that as well. So what'd you play?
I dipped into some NHL 19. And Roller Coaster Tycoon Mobile.
Oh, the mobile on the iPad?
It was awful.
Was it? Did you play the one on the iPad or on your phone?
On the iPad. It was not great.
Not great. I've heard that. Never tried it, but I've heard it's not fantastic by any means.
It's not. It let me down. Let me tell you this. The story behind this too is I played literally what was maybe 20 minutes. And I said,
ooh,
nuff. And I left.
Nuff.
Nuff.
Nuff. Doesn't even get the E. It just gets nuff.
I went, nuff. Shut it off. Hit the little circle button. And then I did what every iPad owner does too. I mean, I get a tremendous use out of my iPad when I purposely use it. But like, I mean, we've discussed this too before where you sit there, you're watching something on your phone. And you're like, wait a second. I could watch this on my iPad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you forget that you have the bigger screen.
I forget about it all the time. Granted, it's fairly new to me, so I'm still trying to get used to it.
Yeah, me too, I guess. I'm like, what?
I pretty much use it solely for drawing, and that is about it.
Yeah, I use it for note-taking, and then I access through work all my emails and Microsoft Teams and all that jazz.
Ooh, that sounds exciting.
Oh, don't get me started, baby. Because I'm the guy that made them use Teams, and... Well,
way to go.
Some people don't want to listen to how it works. So.
Now you messed up.
Yep. Whatever. Cool. Hit us with the upcoming games.
Yeah, upcoming games for this week. Not the whole month, just this week. I about got a little carried away there. So February 13th, Necronator, Dead Wrong is coming to PC. February 14th, Darksiders Genesis is coming to PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Dreams is getting an official full release on PS4. Street Fighter V Champion Edition is coming to PC and PS4. February 17th, Corruption 2029 is coming to PC. Moko Oko is coming to PC. February 18th, Bayonetta and Vanquish 10th Anniversary Bundle is coming to PS4 and Xbox One. And Drone Champions League, the game, is coming to PC, PS4, and Xbox One. Anything you're excited about?
Kind of cool. There's a drone racing game, I guess, coming out. Like, you know, whatever. That's neat.
Yeah.
You ever seen that shit on TV?
Yeah. The drone racing is incredible. I have no clue how they do it. Yeah. But
they're flipping that shit through hula hoops and like...
Oh, yeah. One of my buddies containers. Is real big into it. And I like bought a cheap one from Walmart. And I'm like... I can barely keep this thing from hitting every freaking wall in my house, so I have no clue how you fly it through hoops that are just barely bigger than the drone. No clue.
I'm not, like, super pumped about all these. I mean, it's Bayonetta 10th Anniversary Bundle, that's kind of neat. If you haven't tried Bayonetta yet, definitely pick that up.
Darksiders Genesis?
Dreams? Hey! Yeah. Hey! Right?
Yeah.
It's the cool thing.
I think no one knows
what it is.
Yeah, I actually really do like Dreams. I don't know what you're doing. I do like Dreams, but I don't know. It just feels like it's already been out, I guess, because it's been in early access for a while now. But this is the full release, and I believe it does bring with it a suite of new options and things. So that is cool. Darksiders Genesis, I'm hearing pretty mediocre things about it so far. So we'll see, because I believe it's already out on PC. Should be out on PC right now, and I've heard pretty mediocre things about it, unfortunately.
Enough.
How about that Diggity Indie Radar that we forgot to do last week?
Oh my god, yeah, jeez. Are we new to this? We're not, because we're 145 episodes in, but guys, every month we do an indie radar. Or what we like to call Indie Radar, we showcase a upcoming indie game that's coming out soon or down the line that catches our eye due to its art or its cool gameplay style. And usually it's something that it's kind of not spoken about that much. And that's not to be hip about stuff. It's just we try to look into the underdwellings of Steam.
We're video game hipsters, you know.
Yeah, between all the waifu simulators and versions of fucking Solitaire on Steam, we try to get through everything and find the good games. So this month's Indie Radar is called Death and Taxes. So the description for this game is, in this 2D narrative-based game, you assume the role of the Grim Reaper on an office job. Your job is to decide which people are going to live or die. The consequences of your choices are yours to bear, while the misery of your incarnation awaits revelation. Coming February 2020. It launches in like 8 days as of this recording right now. So 7.
Yes.
If you're listening to the audio version right now. The developer on this game is Placeholder Gameworks. A little bit about the developer. The core team of 8 people working on Death and Taxes is comprised of industry newcomers and veterans alike, most of them from Estonia. Members of the team have worked on games such as Disco Elysium, the Might and Magic Heroes series, and the Fable series. Developers at Placeholder Gameworks are part of the so-called death positivity movement, attempting to break the taboo of talking about death with its emotional implications and moral philosophy. The publisher is there self-publishing, which, good on them. A lot of hard work there. The platforms that's coming out is PC and on Steam. I'm sure this will eventually come out on other platforms as well. Would love to see this on Switch. Yes. The release date for this is February 20th, 2020. As I noted before, 2020. Oh my God. I just realized we've got to do that now. I mean, we could have done that last month, but yeah. It'll be 2/20/2020 on a little note. God. The price of this too, $12.99. Good price.
Yeah. So it looks great.
Yeah, I really like the look of this game. The art style really caught my eye, I think they did a fantastic job, especially with their campaign trailer and video and stuff like that. It's just really neat.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, it is focusing predominantly on the narrative rather than, you know, crazy gameplay or anything like that. But from what I saw in the trailer, it looks fantastic. It looks like with the art style and everything combined, I think it's going to be a really cool game that I'll probably pick up for $13 and hopefully move it right up my backlog.
Yeah. So good on you, Placeholder Gameworks, and can't wait to see the game come out.
So today we have two reviews. So instead of how we normally do it, where our reviews at the end, we're going to kind of split this up, and I'm going to do a first impressions here at the beginning. So I played Temtem, which came out, I believe, on January 20th. And so I'll just do a quick run through of this first impressions. I have about probably 3 or 4 hours in the game. Right off the get-go, I was not very fond of the character creator. I felt like it was extremely limited. But it's fine. I don't know. It took me a while to even create a character that I was semi-happy with. But it works. You create a kind of goofy looking character or whatever, because most of your options are an odd color of hair color or something weird. But overall, the graphics on this game are actually gorgeous. I really, really like the look of this game. It is very interesting to see kind of a Pokemon style game. It gets compared to Pokemon for obvious reasons, but to see a Pokemon style game with drastically different graphics and just an overall different feel. But I think it's a beautiful world, and what I have seen of it so far, I'm pretty impressed with. A lot of the Temtems that I've come across so far, I've only seen a handful of them, just because I am still fairly early on. They're okay. I'm not a huge, huge fan of most of the designs, but they're all right. Sound-wise, game has actually very good sound. The music is very good. They have sound for all the animations. Most of them are kind of recycled, so it's not anything too extensive, but it works. The battle sound, or the battle music that plays, is almost identical to a Pokemon battle theme. Uh-oh. It is very, very reminiscent of it. And if you, it almost sounds like the normal Pokemon battle theme, but kind of slowed down and changed just slightly, like the copy my homework but don't copy everything exactly, so it doesn't look like we were cheating kind of thing.
Get a couple answers wrong.
Yeah, pretty much. But overall, the sound that I've run into so far is actually pretty good. There is a little bit of voice acting in there. It kind of does what a lot of RPGs do, where they'll like voice like a line of a paragraph or something like that, just to give you something, rather than having to record, you know, full paragraphs and things. But it works well. Gameplay wise, I like it. It is a little bit different than Pokemon as far as the playstyle. I have also yet to fail catching a Temtem. I don't even know if you can fail. I assume you can. I mean, I still go in and damage them, just kind of like the old Pokemon style, and then catch one. And so far, so good. Game. But as far as like the battle mechanics, it actually adds like a mana system almost, where you have SP for your moves, and you can only use so much, or else your Temtem will actually damage itself after the fact. And so if you use up all of your SP, it will damage your Temtem, and so you kind of have to swap them in and out. But it also is the same thing of when you swap a Temtem out, they lose that turn, and then so they're kind of vulnerable for a turn there. But overall, I think it's great. It was kind of one of those things that I went into just expecting it to be a real blatant Pokemon clone, which in a way it kind of is, but I think it does enough differently that it feels fresh and it doesn't feel like Pokemon because it's not the same old Pokemon you are used to. I went into it thinking that I was going to play for maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours at the most, and ended up getting sucked into it and had to pull myself away so I could go back and play Phantasy Star Online 2 so I could do a review for that as well, since it was only a close beta for this weekend. So I kind of had to share my time, but I actually had to pull myself away from Temtem, which was surprising. I got sucked into it, and it was it has a very addicting gameplay loop, just like what you're used to with Pokemon, but it just feels different. I can't
How long is the campaign?
I am seeing anywhere from 25 to 40 hours. I know that's a broad range.
Shit.
But it just kind of depends on what you do. And that's not even the full game. They're still adding things, which is one thing I did not like. As you're wandering around this world, even in some of the early areas, there's places that have a big sign in front of them that say WIP, work in progress, which I find kind of weird. I get it if it's going to be something that adds to gameplay later on, but it feels odd in those early areas. Like, maybe put that in a later town or in a different town that's not even available yet. But they kind of made it sound like this is almost like just a portion of the game. They are going to keep adding things and keep working on it. So it sounds like it could be very lengthy by the end of it, but it was, I believe, $30-$35. And I mean, for 40 hours of gameplay, that's pretty solid. I'm happy with it so far. I really, really enjoy it. And I definitely will be finishing it at some point. So. Yeah.
Great. Cool. There's new info on Riot Games Project A. It's not a Canadian joke either. It's the letter A. This info comes from Henry G, a CSGO commentator and former pro Counter-Strike player who got to spend some time playing Project A at Riot EU. He says that the game will be a round-based 5-on-5 tactical shooter. The game will not focus nearly as much on the hero abilities, but they will be more of a helpful utility. Abilities and weapons will be purchased at the start of the round, and they share the same economy. All classes have access to the same weaponry. For most primary weapons, a headshot is an instant kill. Henry G gave the map design high praise, comparing it to Counter-Strike with similar lanes and choke points, which is pretty good. Claims it is also the best game he has played since CSGO.
Wow. I mean, he seems like he might be slightly biased, but fair enough.
Another pro player that got to play the game claims that the game will be free to play with cosmetic items to buy, but this is just a rumor at this point with no evidence to back it up. I'd assume they keep free to play. I mean, they're good at it.
Clearly. It sounds like a good business model for him. It seems to be working rather well.
Yeah, it kind of works.
Yeah, I mean, it's worked very well with League, but I think
you have to buy your stuff at the start.
I think that's an interesting mechanic that they've carried over kind of from League, you know, with that MOBA at the beginning of the round type of thing where you're buying your upgrades and weapons and stuff. I think it's a good idea, and it kind of makes it to where everybody's kind of learning different play styles, and you can focus more on your abilities or focus more on your weapons or whatever you need help with. I think this has some serious potential, and I am actually very excited to hear that it's not going to focus so much on the hero abilities, because that is something that can kind of be a burden on some of these games, because they, you know, the balancing of it is usually a nightmare. So right. I think that's very smart to have very minor hero abilities, just something a little to add a touch of spice to it, but still keep it predominantly just a tactical shooter. So it's cool.
Coolio.
So Nintendo cracked down on, you know, the Sword and Shield leaks a while back, and now we have a official statement from the company that was found guilty, which is fnintendo.net. Yeah. So to our readers at the and this is their official statement, sorry. To our readers, at the beginning of November, a series of off-screen photographs leaked multiple new and unannounced Pokemon from Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield. We want to take this opportunity to openly admit to our readers that FNintendo was responsible for leaking some of these photos. Nintendo offered us a copy of the game for review purposes with a clear embargo guidelines to which we agreed. This copy was then sent to one of our reviewers who leaked the information. Following the investigation, FNintendo severed its relationship with this viewer. Our relationship with Nintendo Portugal dates back 11 years, but our part in this leak is a clear breach of the confidentiality agreement between us and, as a result, a total breach of trust with Nintendo. We recognize it is a impermissible to break embargo guidelines, and we failed to handle the review materials with sufficient care. We fully respect Nintendo's decision to cancel the confidentiality agreement between our companies as a result of this breach of trust, and accept that we will no longer receive products from Nintendo, nor will we be invited to attend their events. Boy. We want to apologize to Nintendo and the Pokemon Company and to our readers for letting them down. Yeah, Nintendo kind of always gets their man. This sucks for this company. It sounds like they had a good relationship. And yeah, one bad seed. I mean,
they signed shit. They signed shit. They fucked up.
It sounds like one guy fucked up. But
yeah, but I mean, you can't tell me that the fucking, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know the full nature of this. I had never even heard of this company until wrote this up today. I had no idea.
Maybe it's a big publicity thing. Who knows? I doubt it, but who knows?
I wouldn't think so. This is this is a good example of not all publicity is decent publicity. There's some bad publicity.
Don't fuck with NDAs.
Well, yeah, and don't fuck with Nintendo in general. So there's that.
Yeah, yeah. Do not mess with legal.
No.
Ugh. Good God. Good God, no. Hey, funny news. Anthem's going to see huge changes over the next few months. Here we go. We already talked about this as the rumors broke a little while back, but now it has officially been confirmed by BioWare. Going forward, at least for the short term, BioWare plans to stop with the seasonal content and instead work on a long-term redesign of the experience within Anthem. Now, this directly refers to the core gameplay loop. To fix this issue, they plan to create motivating challenges and progression with meaningful rewards. During this time, the game will continue to put out some events, store refreshes, and recycle content, including Cataclysm, but the team will largely be focused on the overhaul for the game. No date as to what the end launch would be for the reboot, if you will, of Anthem, but next few months.
Yeah.
I think it needs more in a few months.
I don't know what you do with this. I mean, it seems ridiculous to say that, oh, we'll fix the issue by creating motivating challenges and progression with meaningful rewards. That's fine and dandy, but I feel like when creating a game, that should be kind of priority number one. You want people to be invested in the game and enjoy what they're doing, or else they're going to stop playing it.
Am I crazy, or was there people leaving BioWare, or was there people coming back to BioWare?
There have been some people that have left BioWare.
Okay.
I don't remember.
No one's coming
exactly.
back, right, though? No
they one, like... lost, like, three directors throughout the process of creating Anthem.
Yeah, but also recently, wasn't there some people?
Yeah, they
God,
lost.
So much news we talk about.
They lost a few more people, too. I think there was at least two more large names. That were, you know, kind of headline worthy type names that you hear, but I don't remember who, because doing this twice a week, a lot of the news starts to run together.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, look, if people left like even just a couple weeks ago, they don't agree with doing this. I think they should just cut cords with it and just move on to other shit.
I fully agree. I think. At a certain point, it's just, what do you do?
Free to play, baby.
Make it free to play and completely redo the, I mean, it's practically free to play anyway. You can pick it up for like $6, but.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, good God, I feel like the things that they're going to do should have been things that should have been done from the beginning.
Yeah, and but I still feel like do it's, it, you know? I mean,
yeah, if we can get I'm all for it.
An ounce
I am,
of a better game, why not?
I am rooting for them. Don't get me wrong.
Whoa, I'm not. I'm just kidding.
I would love for this to be great because I think it has potential. When it was first announced, I, along with everyone else, was very excited about it.
Yeah, we fucking bought it. Full and pop. Fuck.
No, we didn't. We.
Oh, no.
No, we played the beta and bounced.
Yeah, that's right. We did. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
Never mind. We were smart. We were smart.
We pre-ordered it to get beta access, and then God. I'm pretty sure we canceled the pre-order immediately after because we're like,
yes.
Nope.
I was thinking also about Ghost Recon.
Yeah, we still that have Ghost Recon. I tried to play that move. The other day, by the way. Still not great. Still not great.
Nuff.
Nuff.
Jesus, dude.
I want this to be good. I would love for them to fix it, but I think at a certain point in time, you just cut your losses and move on. Focus on Dragon Age, the new one, whatever it's going to be, or focus on one of these other games that you're working on. Because I just don't know. They've tried to fix it already, and the things that they keep putting out are just as bad as what they originally put out.
Yeah.
Like Cataclysm came out, and that was supposed to be the big turning point for the game, and it was okay for like a day for the people that still played Anthem, and right. then they stopped caring. So I just don't see that they have not shown in any way, shape, or form that they can fix this.
Well, hey, they'll go free to play with it, and that'll be it.
I mean, that'll give them a slight boost for like a month.
Probably make them more money going free to play.
Probably. I mean, but when all your guns are practically the same gun, it's going to get boring at some point in time.
But they look different.
I don't even think they do that.
Nah, they don't. You can't even really see them, honestly.
No, it's I don't know.
Well,
good luck.
Good luck.
So Call of Duty Modern Warfare Season 2 has launched. Moving on. So this update brings with it two new multiplayer maps, which are Rust, a return of an old Modern Warfare map, Rust, and Atlas Superstore, a new ground war map, Boneyard, a new gunfight map, which is also Rust, new multiplayer modes, which is a CDL playlist, new operator, which is the return of old Simon Ghost Riley, new weapons, which is a Grail 556, which is unlocked at tier 15. It is free, but you still do have to progress through the battle pass in order to unlock it, and the Striker 45, which will be unlocked at tier 31 of the battle pass, which is actually quite a bit of playing to reach that point. Things coming later in the season, a new multiplayer map called Kandor Hideout, a new gunfight map called Bazaar, two new operators, Talon and Mace, new multiplayer modes, Infected Ground War. I'm curious how that works, by the way. That seems insane.
That's a big map.
Regular Infected is already insane. Infected Ground War is just madness.
That's 60 on 60, right? Is it 30-30?
30-30.
Yeah.
I believe.
I mean, that's crazy.
MVG Reinforce, gunfight tournaments, and variants, and more.
Hey.
More. Whatever that is. And then there's also a new weapon, which is classified, because that's a thing.
Secrets.
And then also, speaking of classified, a classified game mode has appeared on the main menu screen of the game, more than likely pretty much hinting at all but confirming it's a BR game, I'm sure. It's a BR game mode. I don't know what else it would be unless they're adding zombies, which isn't their thing because that's usually Treyarch. So I assume this is Battle Royale of some sort.
Oh, boy.
Sure, why
moving
not?
Moving on! Borderlands 3 has a developer roadmap. Everybody's doing stuff for their games right now. Unreal.
Hey!
The February patch, this is what
be developing.
It entails, my dude. So you get a true takedown mode, so extreme difficulty for the Malawan Black Site designed for a full party of four decked out Vault Hunters. You get a level cap increase. So you'd be going from 50 to 53, giving you three more skill points to use on your Vault Hunter. Performance and stability fixes, of course. Skippable cutscenes. Oh my god, yes. Guardian rank toggling is also coming. So this will allow players to turn off perks acquired from Guardian ranks that may be affecting gameplay in a way players do not want, such as making the game too easy for them. Event toggling is also a feature coming, so you can opt out of events such as Broken Hearts. Planned for the March update is a fight, improvements to Fight for Your Life. So the ways to make this mechanic better for the co-op experience, such as increasing the interaction radius between players, telegraphing revives to players more clearly, and allowing multiple players to contribute to a revive in itself. Mayhem 2.0 is also coming. So fine-tuning to the formula first introduced back in November. Oh my god. Like a crazy cough there. To cough, but then EchoCast Twitch extension expansion. So currently, this allows players to interact with Borderlands 3 streamers and even collect some of the same loot, which is pretty awesome. They want to add even more event types in the future, such as a Moxie themed event, which should arrive in the March update. And they teased more big announcements coming at the Gearbox panel at PAX East, and PAX East is happening February 27th. Can't believe we're already in PAX season. Oh my god,
it's wild, wild. Cool. I think there's a lot of good things in there. The skippable cutscenes is incredible. That's turned a lot of people away from replaying the game and creating new characters because they have to watch all of the cutscenes again, which is ridiculous. So a lot of good things. I think this game is still just kind of chugging along. I don't know. I feel like it kind of came and went to an extent. I feel like
in a pretty quick fashion.
Yeah, we haven't heard a ton about this game really since it launched. I mean, I still go back to it every once in a while, but I never even beat the campaign. It was kind of, I started it, made a decent chunk through, and kind of fell off and started playing some other stuff. So that's the way it goes, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Best of luck to him. So to close out the show here, I got another impressions. So Phantasy Star Online 2 had a closed beta this weekend, which was only on Xbox One, because Xbox is the real driving force to bring this finally over to the States and elsewhere other than basically Japan. And this game originally launched in, I believe it was 2012. Let me double check that. Yeah, 2012. And in all honesty, it feels like it. It's a little dated. I feel like overall I had fun with my time playing it. I feel like the actual gameplay of it is fine. But the menu systems and some of the other crazy stuff they have going on is a little difficult to navigate through if you are not used to playing an MMO. And even then, it's probably the most complicated MMO to get to just turn in different categories and things like, or to turn in missions and stuff. It's kind of bizarre. So this game was developed predominantly by Sega and Sega Games, and I think they also had online R&D help develop the game, and then was released in Japan, I believe. And then just stayed there, never released anywhere else. And so finally it's coming to the West, and I really enjoyed my time with the game. I did have fun in it, but there was just this divide in how you typically play a modern game that does not, it didn't click. Like there's this certain part of it, like the menu system just drove me nuts. But anyway, sorry. Graphics look fine. Again, came out in 2012. Hasn't really been updated that drastically. But honestly, for a 2012 game, it looks pretty good. I think it does a lot of things pretty well. The style lends itself to aging pretty well without, you know, looking super dated. But it doesn't quite have the fidelity that you'd hope for, about the fidelity you would expect. Overall, though, I think it worked well. I didn't have any frame rate drops that caused issues, probably because they kept the graphics fairly low, because sometimes there is a lot going on screen. But overall, the graphics were fine. Again, about what I expected. Sound-wise, it was okay. They did a lot of voiceover acting, which was pretty good. The voice actors sounded good. They sounded natural. Of course, they don't match up with the mouths even remotely, but sometimes the character will be moving their mouth for significantly longer than what the voice lines were, especially because a lot of it, they actually only put voice acting in for like the first sentence type of thing. So the Japanese version actually had all of the voice acting, I believe, or at least most of it. And so the character will still be talking even though it's cut off, which isn't a major deal, but it didn't really bug me, but I did notice it. The sound, as far as your character, you have a bunch of options for the sounds, and it really, it sounds like they had two different voice actors maybe for female and male characters, and then you can just go in and like change the pitch, and then they had the voice actor deliver the line slightly different. So there's not a whole lot of variation, but there is a little bit. They also added some more voice actors, which are a little bit more individual, and they sound drastically different, but the general voice actors are pretty much the same throughout. You can kind of mess with it a little bit. In game, a lot of the sounds are fine. A lot of like the swords, when you swing a sword, it pretty much sounds the same all the time. Just kind of a normal like thud sounds. But it was okay. Again, it's an 8-year-old game at this point, so it is dated. Gameplay wise, I actually had a blast while I was on the missions. It was just while I was back at the main hub that I didn't really enjoy my time with it.
Sure.
The missions and stuff in the combat is actually a lot of fun. It has a lot of customization in how you play. You can change weapons on the go, so you can use, I mean, I created like a I can't remember, I think they called it a hunter, so I used like a sword, and I also had access to like what are they called? Anyway, they're kind of like the Chaos Blades from God of War, where they're on a chain and you can like swing them around and stuff. And then you also had like a giant staff,
like Scythe almost.
Not quite. It was it was like a chained staff or something like that is what they called it. But the gameplay was a lot of fun. I really did enjoy that. I had a gun blade, which you could actually like switch on the fly whether you were shooting ranged or attacking up close with it, and
that's cool.
It does a lot of really, really cool things, and most of the missions are kind of MMO-y where you got to go in and like kill so many of this enemy type of thing, but again, that's what it is, so I fully expected this. But overall, I actually really did enjoy my time with it. Minus, like I said, my biggest complaint is just the menu system. I absolutely despise the menu system and how you turn in quests. You have to go, or you have to open a menu and then open a sub menu and then scroll through and find the thing and then turn it in. But some of the quests, you actually have to go to the person to turn in the quest because it's a client order and it's a drastically different thing. And then also to track these people down, it's like, oh, go see, one of them was like Orza or something like that. That was the person's name. Okay, well, I just talked to 18 different people, and I don't remember which one's Orza, so I have to run around until I find the person with a little green icon above there, which doesn't show on the map.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, it was that was my only complaint, which is kind of a major complaint when you have to turn these missions in. Like, I created two characters because I wanted to create a bow user. I don't remember what the name of their class was for that, but essentially, I wanted to create the bow user, and then I wanted to create the sword, because as I created my bow user, I actually had access to a katana, and I found out I actually like just getting in there and hitting them with the sword a lot better, and I did the bow just because of the different moves and the way it worked. So I created my second character, and then that's when I found some of this stuff out, because I didn't realize it on my first character. So it is different, and it is dated. but it's fun. The gameplay is fun, and it, once you get used to the menu system, it's not terrible, but it is a learning curve. There is a pretty steep learning curve there that you will have to figure out if you do go into this game. But nice thing is it's free to play, so even when it does fully launch, you can jump in, try it. If it's not for you, you're not out of anything, and you can at least bounce out of it and return to whatever or go on to something new. But once it fully launches, I will be jumping back into it. I did have a good time. They also did have some server issues, which, again, it's a closed beta, so kind of to be expected to an extent.
Sure.
They had server issues. I believe it was Saturday night or Friday night. Friday night, sorry. And then they had them back up on Saturday, and then the servers actually, they took servers down for maintenance sometime Saturday night. I guess it would have been Sunday morning. And then brought them back up at 5 p.m. Eastern here. So, it was cool. It was I was excited to kind of get into it and try it because I've heard a lot about it over the years of searching for, MMOs to play and things. And this is one that gets brought up pretty frequently. But I think, again, overall good, but it is dated and there will be a steep learning curve. So try it. You might like it or you might not.
It's up to you. It's up to you, really. Cool. Yeah. Well, guys, that's gonna do it for our show this Wednesday. Even though it's recording on Tuesday right now, but you know, you audio people, you the real OGs. You can head on over to Patreon, patreon.com/diggitypodcast. I don't know what I just did there. Whatever. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Diggity Podcast. Subscribe to us on YouTube, Diggity DiggityY. You can find me on Xbox. My gamer tag is Maple Jeff. My Nintendo Switch key is far too fucking long to tell you over there, so I'll let Brody tell his two tags as well.
On Xbox, you can find me at Luscious Brody, and on PlayStation, you can find me at Wolverine's Cousin.
Cool. Guys, whether it is a comment on one of our YouTube videos or a review left on our iTunes page, reviews help us out a ton. They do two things. One, they let us know what you liked or what you might not have liked about our show so we can adjust it and tweak it and make it so that you might like it more or do the right things for the show to make it better. And two, it actually helps us get noticed on these platforms, like a lot. Like it matters a lot. It sucks, but it matters. But essentially, engagement and being able to trust people on these platforms is what allows these platforms to push us more and more. And we have been climbing the ranks of the old Spotify.
We're getting there.
We're climbing.
Clawing our way up.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, we're right behind
Jared. My fingernails are bloody, but we're getting there.
Right behind Jared Petty, baby. Let's go. Love Jared Petty, by the way. Maybe one day Jared Petty will be on the show. No, Jared Petty will be on the show one day.
We'll add him to our list of ever-growing people that are going to be on this show at some point.
That's correct. Some not even in the video game space or realm at all. Just random people, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. There's one in particular that I'm thinking of, but yeah.
Who's that?
Oh, no. I'm good.
Who's that?
No, I'm good.
Who's that?
Alaskan Thunderfuck.
Oh my god, we've never told anybody about this, have we?
I swear you've said it on here once.
I don't think I've ever mentioned Alaska Thunderfuck on this podcast.
Oh. Well, now we have.
Well, now here we find ourselves. Typically where I close it out. Anybody want to know who Alaska Thunderfuck is, just put in Alaska Thunderfuck on Spotify and you'll find her incredible music. Alaska Thunderfuck is a drag queen that sings music, it's pretty spicy shit. I mean, she doesn't hold back her feelings on that at all. So fuck it. One day we'll have Alaska Thunderfuck on the show. She probably loves games, dude.
Maybe.
You kidding me?
Maybe it's worth a shot.
The shit out of games, dude, like The Sims or something like
that. That would be probably the most interesting interview we could ever have.
A let's play. Oh. Jeff and Alaska Thunderfuck play Halo.
Okay, let's make it happen.
Let's do it. Let's line it up.
I'll reach out now.
Let's do it. Let's get her on the show. Man. Anyways, guys, we will see you for the Friday show. And do yourself a favor, and if you're going to look up Alaska Thunderfuck, probably don't be at work and don't be blasting it unless you savage.
Headphones.
It's, yeah. So I'll leave with a nice line from Alaska Thunderfuck. Bye!